the North Peace MB Church Roundtable Podcast. For more information, visit npmbchurch.com.
Well, welcome to the North Peace Roundtable Podcast. Thanks for listening. If you are new to this or listening to the radio or on the website, I'm Pastor Andrew and Pastor Don is here as well, and we just kind of talk through different things related to Christian life and how to follow Jesus and topics related to the Bible. Don is here. He is playing soccer all week, so he's a sweaty mess, and I'm just kidding. Have you learned any new soccer moves this week, Don, or what?
There's the V.
I feel like you're just making things.
I could say whatever I want.
It's the V, it's the cross kicker thing.
Thingamabobber. thing.
Oh, man. So, yes, Don was able to duck away for about an hour. And so we want to talk about worship this morning. And I guess this kind of came up in the youth group a bit, and that's why Don just threw it out. Hey, should we haven't done something about, you know, what is worship? How do you worship? And just kind of talk about a good theology of worship and how that kind of affects, I don't know, it will affects the way we do church when we gather, and even like, can you worship on your own? We're going to kind of talk about all that kind of stuff. So why don't we start with what is worship? Maybe I'll throw that out to you, Don, first.
Okay.
If you could define, I don't know, worship, what would it be?
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, going, Andrew was saying, we just discussed this at youth group here a week and a half ago, and I just threw out, you guys help me out, what is worship? And we described a lot of methods, a lot of different things that we really couldn't nail down what worship was. So I found it really intriguing that we couldn't do that. So I'll just read a verse from 1 Chronicles 16, 28 and 29. It just kind of, I think, gives us a bit of a help on defining that. Worship is ascribing to the Lord, O families of nation, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Then it talks about trembling before him. So basically, worship is recognizing who God is in whatever we do, and recognizing that he's our creator, he's our maker. We couldn't survive without him. So it's worship is basically just recognizing who God is, and whether we sing or pray or whatever, it's recognizing that this is who we're coming before, talking to. So I think in the olden days, they called it worth-ship. God is worth our adoration, our attention, our allegiance. I mean, that's basically what worship
is. Yeah, because I think for a lot of people, we just kind of equate it with singing. So worship is what we do on Sunday mornings for the four or five songs or whatever that we sing. I think a lot of people, we just kind of equate, or we listen to worship music. And I think you're right. I liked how you said it was like, that's a mode of, is that the word you used? Mode?
Mode or method?
Method. I like that better. That's a method of worship. That's like a way that we worship.
Yes.
But I think, I like that. The idea of it's you giving worth to God. Because even if you think about it, when we talk about idolatry is basically worshiping something other than God. So it's not like I sing to my money or, you know, when I say I worship sex, right? If that's my idol, it's because I'm giving it ultimate worth in my life. Or when you worship money, it's because you are placing that as the ultimate object of worth in your life. So that makes sense that when we worship God, we are just giving God ultimate worth, for who he is. So maybe give some examples, and besides singing,
like how we can worship.
Yeah. So what are other ways that we worship God, give him ultimate worth besides singing?
Yeah. And that's kind of what the youth group, the first thing they said, well, singing, and then we kind of stumbled and fumbled. What else is there? But then we came up with praying, even just silently kneeling down, walking on a path, like on a, some of them went on a nature walk and they said that was worship to them.
Hmm.
Some of them it was reading the Bible. So there's a few different ways they said was worship. What else? Yeah, sometimes it's just being quiet, not even doing anything at all can be worship.
Yeah.
If we're ascribing to the Lord. So the opposite is true. You could do all these things and not be anywhere close to worship. You could sing all the worship songs, and we talked about that, and not worship at all. Even though we're singing a worship song, but we haven't really recognized that we're actually singing to a real God, an awesome God who's listening. And we could go through, I just sang three songs. I don't even remember
what I said. What did I, or anything. I just read a whole page of the Bible. I've done that many times.
Yeah. Actually, one more thing was confession of sin came up.
Huh.
Is worship. As they recognize that we sinned, confession of sin is actually recognizing God is holy, he's perfect, and what I just did was not holy, was not perfect, and I'm coming against God.
Yeah.
And worship is recognizing again who he is and confessing that I'm not God and that I stepped over the line and I need your forgiveness. And so that was worship too. That is a very powerful form of worship, I think, when you do recognize your own sin and confess and fall before God. And then he forgives us and restores us. And then we could worship with a song after that declaring, wow,
right,
he's amazing. So
Romans 12:1 talks about this too. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So like you were saying, even like obedience and striving to become like Jesus is a form of worship. Mm-hmm. But I like what you said, that you can do all of these things for the totally wrong reasons and not be worshiping. Like, I know lots of, like, and I've done it, where you sing a song and then you're just, your heart's not in it, or your motivation is different, or maybe the song, like the emotions behind it, man, how they like build it and the brain, and you could be singing just a pop song and really be connecting with it or whatever, or reading your Bible or prayer or even obedience, like to obedience to what Jesus commands us. If all of that is done out of duty or just, you know, I'm trying to be, earn, you know, right standing with God, I think then you're kind of missing it and it's not worship. So I think that's a really good point to make, that we don't want to just tell you, if you're listening, worship is singing and prayer and reading the Bible and being obedient to Jesus, because you could do all those things and not be worshiping God.
Yeah, and that's why it's good to remember those are just methods of worship.
Yeah.
Because if the heart isn't in the right place, then it isn't worship.
Yeah.
And so recognizing those are methods and ways we can worship our awesome God. So it kind of, the whole theme of the Sermon on the Mount we've been going through is the heart issue. So if the heart is in the right place, then we can come and worship in song and prayer, because the work has already been done. I know some people, it just makes me a little bit nervous when we come to church and we say, well, let's prepare for worship. Let's sing a couple songs and
to get us in the mood.
Get us in the mood. Yeesh, that is scary, because we should already be in the mood. And I get it. I mean, sometimes I come here in the morning too and I just need to quiet myself and recognize who I'm standing before.
Yeah.
So I get it, but I do get nervous when you have to prepare yourself to sing a couple songs or do a couple things to try to get you in the right place. That makes me a little bit nervous.
I like that. Just a couple throwaways to warm up. You're just, okay, let's stretch out. Here we go. Yeah. But I think many people think like that, right? Give me two or three kind of fast songs to, okay, shake me up, wake me up. Now I'm ready to like worship. Oh man, you're so right. We should have 15 minutes of worship warm up before the service.
Just like any like our soccer event, we warm up first for 15 minutes, and then
you don't want to pull something while you're worshiping. Oh man, but I think you're talking about like even Hebrews 12 talks about let us offer to God acceptable worship. Mm-hmm. With reverence and awe. So I think there's such a thing as unacceptable worship, which is a scary, because I mean, right after the author of Hebrews says, for our God is a consuming fire, to go, ooh, okay. So I think unacceptable worship would be just that, coming, blah, 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 singing songs, even, well, I better read my Bible today, blah, read a chapter, put it away. Yeah. Or, you know, I'm just going to be obedient, follow the Ten Commandments. In my mind, that's like unacceptable worship, because the author of Hebrews says acceptable worship is with reverence and awe. And so that just means falling on your face, being, man, I so don't even deserve to approach God with worship. And yet I'm allowed to. He is so far above me. So I think this is really good to remind ourselves, worship is not just going through these different motions, but like you said, you know, with the Sermon on the Mount, it is a matter of the heart.
Yeah.
Which is why, you know, and it was funny because we would often kind of challenge our young adults at the last church I was at, because worship for them was very much, it has to be really good musically. That's kind of what they equated it to, good worship, right? And I would often hear people leave, man, worship was bad today. And I go, wait a second, think about what you just said. How mm-hmm. could worship be bad? So sure, maybe musically it was bad, but basically, if it is about your heart, you should be able to worship to pressing play on a CD,
yeah.
staring at a blank wall like that. that you could, and but they. It was funny. Lots yeah. of people know
yeah, no,
it has to be really done well musically, and I get the idea of like we want to present, we want to play music with excellence,
yeah.
and we want to. We can't just like. If you don't know how to play the guitar, you shouldn't lead worship because it's not just singing like, but
Mr. Bean.
Yeah, Mr. Bean. But I think we mix it up and we think really good worship equals, yeah. well, the band was really good. Mm-hmm. So I think it's about your heart. It's about your motivation for worship. So yeah. I think it's good to remind ourselves about that. Let's spend a few minutes talking about musical worship. And I told Don, let's step on some toes here. But so yes, worship can be all of those things, confession, prayer, reading the scriptures, obedience. But I think, too, there is something powerful about corporate worship, which was what we want to talk about, when we gather together, and usually that's Sundays, but it can be any time that we gather together and corporately we are singing. There's something in the Bible about singing. God seems to love it when people yeah. specifically sing his praises. There is just something, I think, music and singing connects us to God on a, mm-hmm. in a special way. I don't yeah. know if I'm sounding like super mystical, but there is something yeah. about when you gather with people to sing to God, there's just something powerful about mm-hmm. that. So I don't know, Don, do you have a couple examples of in the scriptures of people singing to God? Or is this something new that we've kind of developed in the church or what?
Yeah, no, I think it was evident very early on, but yeah, a couple of examples that I thought of is when Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, they went through the Red Sea and the Egyptian army was destroyed. And on the other side, when the Israelites witnessed what God did, they were absolutely helpless and God delivered them. And this is the song they sang. It says, then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider, he is hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Hmm. So here's the whole nation of Israel just lifting up a song to God. And what they're singing is it's all about God.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, this must have been an amazing scene. And I know even as you follow the Israelites singing, that corporate singing, like David was huge in this. Before they go into battle or the temple worship, there was constant singing.
Yeah.
And it was all directed towards worshiping God and acknowledging Him. So it has always been a powerful thing as a group of people or a nation or whatever, singing together,
yeah,
worshiping God and acknowledging who He is.
Yeah, and so, the Psalms, I mean, that was kind of like the song book of the Israelites. So many of the Psalms they would actually sing. I love Psalm 96 because God actually commands us to sing. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. So you can kind of see, again, it's God is commanding us, I want you to give worth to me, basically. So sing to me a song, bless my name. And it even says, tell of His salvation from day to day. So talk about how God has saved us. Ascribe worth to God. So Psalm 96 commands us. I know in Luke 1, when Mary finds out that she's pregnant with the Son of God, it's called, you know, the Magnificat or whatever. So Mary sings this song, praising God for this amazing miracle. In Revelation, so many of the depictions of the throne room of God and, yeah, you know, the new heavens and the new earth, it's people singing. Like, I wrote down a few. I'm actually going to flip there because some of them are, man, when I read that, if you want to read about some awesome worship services, read Revelation,
yeah,
because,
yeah,
man, these words are so powerful. Like Revelation 11:16, the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who was and or who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and began to reign. The nations raged, but your wrath came, and the time for the dead to be judged, and for rewarding your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great." Revelation 5 talks about people worshiping around the throne of God. Revelation 19 talks about that. There's so many instances where, yeah, it's people, you know, a great multitude that can't even be numbered singing to God. Just powerful examples of worship through song. A personal example, when we lived down in the Lower Mainland, we went to the Passion Conference, which was, you know, 20,000 people, and Chris Tomlin led worship and David Crowder and a few other people. But that, in my mind, I remember as we're singing with 20,000 people, that was the closest. And I just pictured, and, you know, Revelation says, yeah, it's a crowd that you can't even number. So with 20,000 people singing, that was so powerful. And I'm going, man, and I can count them. There's 20,000 people here. But to think this worship that's happening around the throne room, you can't even count how many people are there. And they're all singing to God. It's just a powerful picture of musical worship, I guess.
Yeah.
And the Bible talks a lot about instruments in worship. The lyre, which we need to bring back.
Isn't that the guitar?
No. Come on, man. It's way different. The lyre and the drums. So all those people that don't like drums, well, it's biblical.
Biblical.
The tambourine. Loud worship is sometimes described. So people, it should be soft and somber. Well, not always. Loud worship and instruments and singing, it's all in the Bible. So it's just something powerful when the people of God, so, you know, for us, the church, at least every Sunday, we gather and we sing. And there's something powerful about that, yeah, when you are collectively singing how great God is. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
So now let's make some people angry and talk about where that kind of falls flat sometimes. I don't know, like,
well, I mean, I think, like, even in our culture, it is all about me. It's all about individual talk. And so it's no wonder that this creeps into our worship, too. Yeah. So, I mean, I think it is good to sing about how much God loves me and how, you know, how amazing it is that I can be called his child. But when we end up singing too many songs and we call them worship, and basically it's all about me.
Yeah.
And we talked about that, and it's not worship, because worship is giving glory due to the one that deserves it.
Yeah.
And when it ends up pointing at us all the time, it's like we're lifting ourselves up.
Yeah.
And we might think, well, no, that's not what we are. We're not even mentioning God sometimes.
Yeah.
Or we're bringing him even down kind of to our level sometimes.
Yeah.
That he's just, you know, slightly above us.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, I mean, that's just one thing in our culture that we're so focused on self, that worship or what we call worship sometimes is just singing and lifting ourselves up, or at least the attention is on us.
Yes.
Whereas worship, and we noticed all these examples, it was all about giving worth and glory and due and honor to the one that actually deserves it and needs to be recognized.
Yeah.
And I think that's something Satan wants. He doesn't want us to glory, because Satan tried to tempt Jesus to worship him. And Jesus told him, worship, nobody deserves worship except God, and to revere
him. Not Don, not Andrew.
No.
I would go one step further. I hate worship music that calls it, it's not. So I know you're being like super politically correct. I hate it. It just drives me so mental.
I'm being diplomatic.
I know you're not.
Not political correct. That's a bad word.
I'm not. It just drives me, because I'm like, you're worshiping yourself. It just drives me crazy. And oftentimes, I don't know. My wife kind of says, well, maybe just calm down.
Calm down, Andrew.
And I'm like, no, it drives me crazy. And oftentimes when we'll go and travel, like for holidays and visit other churches, my wife can totally tell when I'm just like wanting to walk out, because there's, and it's not, so don't, it's not just contemporary worship music. So we're not saying like, man, the hymns are so great. There's some terrible theology in hymns, and there are hymns that are all about us too. So it's not just new music, but there's and whether it's because it sounds great musically and we just kind of get caught up in it, but so many of the songs I go, you're singing about yourself. And now I wrote down some examples because I am not diplomatic at all. So, and I'll give you a perfect example, and I won't name the church, but when we were on holidays, not this last time, but the one before, we went to a church with my sister, and the song that they sang, and I already told Don about this song, it's called You Make Me Brave. And so it's, there's some great stuff in it, but the whole thing is about how, like, God makes me brave. And I kind of wrestled with that, and I said, "Hey, that's such a stupid song. Like, that's not worship. I mean, you could be saying, well, yeah, God's so great because he made me brave, but you're just talking about your own bravery." So they were singing it, and I was just like, man. And I looked around, and I really struggled because people are raising their hands and singing, and I'm like, but you're just singing nonsense. Some of you may like these songs, so sorry, but there's a song, Above All. Again, all the lyrics up till this last line are great. And then he says, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. And I'm like, no, he didn't. Stop. So I struggle with the fact that did Jesus, when he was dying on the cross, really, above everything else, think of me, Andrew, while he was dying? I don't think so. I think he was thinking about his own glory and the fact that he was sacrificed for the whole world. There's a song. I'm going to keep going here. Do you have any you want to throw in here, or am I the only one?
Go ahead, Andrew.
A song called In the Secret. Terrible song. There is no mention of Jesus or God. Like, basically, it's, you know, in the secret, I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to know you more. Like, you could be singing that to God, or to your girlfriend named Ashley or Jessica. Like, there's no mention of God. So for you could just play that on the radio as a top 40 hit. And we could go on and on, and I'm not going to. I don't want to be mean. I don't know. Maybe their hearts were in the right place while they wrote these songs. I don't know, but it just drives me crazy because that's not worship. Like you said, the definition of worship is I'm going to ascribe worth to God. But I think a lot of times we're just kind of talking about ourselves. Yeah. And so I really struggle with that. I don't know. There, I'm off my soapbox now.
Yikes.
Emails can be sent to Don, D-O-N.
And I will direct them to the proper place. No, I think the bottom line is we want us to really consider the songs we're singing and actually just look at them.
Yeah.
And where's the focus in some of these? Yeah, like Andrew said, you really look at them.
Yeah.
Emotionally, it can sound really good. Like we're having a moment. But the moment is just an emotional moment.
Yeah.
And so to actually really look at the words that we're singing,
yeah,
and who's it directed to,
yeah,
and if it isn't directed to God, then yeah, according to the Bible, even it's not worship. Jesus said worship can only go to God,
yeah,
and it's only directed at Him, and anything else is false or unacceptable worship or false worship.
Yeah.
So,
and to be sure, it's not like we worship without emotions. Because like worship should be emotional because we're remembering, but emotional for the right reasons, not just, oh, the swell of the music makes me really happy, but emotional because worship should be God-focused and gospel-centered, and you're emotional because you're remembering that you're a sinner and that God saved you and that how great He is. So yeah, it's not like we're saying you have to remove your emotions from it, but if it's just wrapped up in emotions and regardless of the words you're saying, that's the dangerous part where it's...
Because the same emotions come when you hear an 80s love song.
Well, maybe for you. Oh, man. What is your favorite 80s love song, Don?
My favorite 80s love song is April Wine, Just Between You and Me. That's Janet and I have the song. So
I don't know that one. Would you mind singing?
No.
Turn off your sound now. But you're right. People connect. Like, there are some non-Christian bands that I really like. And when I hear their song, I get pumped, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's the danger of the emotional connection that we have with music, that you can have it for an 80s love song like Don and Janet. Or like good music like me. I'm just kidding. Wow, we are just going off the rails here. Anything else you want to say about worship?
No. We want to lift God up.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line. And whatever we do, and worship and singing is a huge part of it. And that's totally biblical. Like we discussed, I mean, around the throne and all over the Bible, there's this word. And even Paul in Ephesians, I was going to read that before. It says, speak to one another. Yeah. With psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, sing and make music in your heart. And then here he says, why? To the Lord. Yeah. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul tells us to sing and make music in your heart. So it seems to suggest corporately and even individually, but he says to the Lord. And it's always directed to the one that deserves it.
Yeah.
And is worthy of it. So I think that's our desire today, that we kind of just stop and say, okay, why am I singing this song? Or how am I worshiping? Am I doing these things because I want to get something from God, or am I worshiping Him for who He is?
And yeah.
So.
And I think, you're right. It's, again, we're pushing back. Like, it's all about the motivation of your heart. And that's what, as a church, if you attend North Peace, that's what we've been looking at since October, the Sermon on the Mount, that everything we do, like, Jesus is far more interested in why you do things than what you do, because I mean, we can obey perfectly. You can have perfect church attendance. You can sing really great, and you could be totally far from God.
Yeah, you could be a Pharisee.
Yeah, exactly. And so to say, you know, with everything that we talk about on the podcast, but especially with this morning talking about worship, as pastors, we're going, man, we hope that people, their motivation for worship is correct, so that you're not being obedient and reading your Bible and praying and appreciating nature and singing for all the wrong reasons, because we would go, no. So I think it's good to say, like, before you worship, to really stop and think about. So before you sit down to pray and read your Bible, like, check your heart, what the motivation is. Before you come on Sunday, I love, Don, that you said, like, you should be prepared to worship before you get here, not after the first three songs, but to check your heart. Why am I here? Why am I here on a Sunday? Because I often tell people there's a lot of other fun hobbies you can have that are way more exciting than Sunday morning church. So if you're just here to check off the box and sing some songs, we would say, like, check the motivation of your heart. Why are you worshiping God, I guess, is what we kind of want to leave it with. Like, yeah. Are your affections so for Jesus that worship really is just ascribing worth to God and not trying to get something from Him, or not just connected to the emotional feeling of the music? Yeah. Really, that's our desire, that people would have the motivation of their heart be the driving force behind why we worship. So hopefully that's been helpful, and we didn't destroy too many of your favorite songs. And until next time, hope you have a great week.